This morning, I'd like us to consider the question, does God exist? The Bible assumes the existence of God. Think of the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. In that chapter, it mentions God on numerous occasions. It says he created the world and he gave life. Think of the first commandment given by Jesus, in which Jesus says, "The Lord your God is the only Lord, and you are to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." As far as the Bible is concerned, we don't have to argue for God's existence. It just assumes God exists. But today it's different, and we can no longer take for granted that everyone believes there is a God. Christians, of course, believe in God, but atheists believe there isn't a God. Agnostics think there isn't sufficient evidence on either side to believe, and so they simply don't know. And then there are some people who are indifferent and believe it doesn't matter. And so today, we need to bring forward reasons or arguments or clues for the existence of God. And this is what I propose to do this morning. I offer you three reasons or clues for the existence of God: creation, human experience, and Jesus Christ. Firstly, creation points us towards the existence of God. There are several factors in creation which are just right to support life. If the earth were much smaller, then there wouldn't be sufficient gravitational pull to give us air, and so we would die. If the moon were much bigger or nearer, we would suffer from massive tidal waves here on earth. If the sun were further away, we'd freeze. If the sun were nearer to us, then we would fry. That these factors and several others are just right to support life is a clue towards the existence of a creator God. Some years ago, a colleague said to me that he and one or two other ministers went to a cliff near Scarborough to do some bird watching, and he was told there were 15 different species of birds present, and there was up to 250,000 of some of those species. And in that small area, the birds had their nests, and they were flying to and from their nests. And my colleague wondered how they could do the flying without colliding with one another and without seeming to deviate in their flight. And also he noticed that none of the birds crashed against the cliffs. And so he thought that those birds had a wonderful sense of flight and direction. Today, human beings fly in aeroplanes, and of course, we've got wonderful technology. But every now and again, there's a collision or an accident. And so the natural flight of those birds points us towards the existence of a Creator God. Now, of course, not all creation points us towards a Creator God. We think of volcanoes, earthquakes, and hurricanes, which all make us question God's existence. But I put it to you that on balance, the wonder, beauty, variety, and order of creation does point us to the existence of a Creator God. But some may argue, well, all this does is point us to the probability of a designer. It doesn't mean to say that that great designer is the Lord God of Christian belief. And so creation doesn't prove there is a God. It's just a very persuasive clue towards God's existence. Secondly, our human experience of God points us towards God's existence. And some people's experience of God has helped others to come to believe in God. The Antarctic explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton, together with two colleagues, Frank Worsley and Tom Crean, had a very long and arduous march, which they did without a map, in order to get back from the Antarctic safely. And Sir Ernest Shackleton, during this march, felt that there was someone else with them. And about 3 weeks later, Frank Worsley said, "Boss, I had a curious feeling along the march that there was some other person with us." And Tom Crean also said a similar thing. Now, those three people had that experience independently. Later, reflecting upon that experience, Sir Ernest Shackleton wrote, "I have no doubt that Providence was with us. I know that during that long and racking march, over 36 hours, over the unnamed mountains and glaciers of South Georgia, it seemed to me often that there were four, not three of us." Many years later, John McCartney, who was kidnapped and held hostage in Beirut in a dark room, had a similar positive experience. At one time, he was overcome with profound despair and he felt as if he was literally falling under its weight. And he cried out, "God help me." And immediately he experienced a powerful strength with him. And it was that inner renewal that not only helped him at that moment, but also strengthened him during the remaining years of his captivity. The Reverend John Young tells of a lady called Mary. Mary had been a drug addict, and she'd stolen in order to feed her drug addiction. John Young didn't get to know her until she'd given up both her drugs and her stealing and become a committed Christian. And he once asked her, how did she leave off the drugs and the stealing? And he said to her, how did it happen? Did you wake up one morning and decide to turn over a new leaf and make a new start? And Mary replied that when you're face down in the gutter, no matter how hard you try, you can't turn your life around. She simply didn't have the moral vision or the spiritual strength to do it herself. She said that it was the forgiveness and the strength of the Lord Jesus that enabled her to get her life back on the right track. I'm here because at the age of 15, God called me to the Christian faith, and 4 years later, he called me to Christian ministry. The human experience of God is another persuasive clue for us towards the existence of God. Thirdly, Jesus Christ is another clue about God's existence. In John's Gospel, we read, "No one has ever seen God, but God's only Son, who is nearest to the Father's heart, he has made him known." We know God through Jesus' wonderful teaching. Jesus said that the Lord our God is the only Lord, and we must love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. He also said that we should love our neighbour as ourselves. Jesus taught, "Always treat others as you would like them to treat you." Jesus said, "Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for your persecutors and those who treat you spitefully." We know God through the wonderful miracles of Jesus. He fed 5,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee. He raised people from the dead. And a man called Legion, who was a madman possessed by devils, he healed. And we know God by the way that Jesus related to all sorts of people. He mixed with the outcasts, including tax collectors and leprosy sufferers. He taught small groups of people, his disciples, but he also taught large crowds. He challenged the religious leaders of his day, including Pharisees and Sadducees. Indeed, time for individuals, a rich young ruler, a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus, and a Samaritan woman by Jacob's well. Most of all, we know God through Jesus' death and resurrection, because it's by his death that Jesus offers us the forgiveness of sins, and it's by his resurrection that Jesus offers us the life eternal. Some years ago, I was driving my car and I came to some roadworks, and there were some temporary traffic lights, and the lights were red, and so I stopped. And they seemed to remain red for an awfully long time. Nothing was coming in the other direction, but as I couldn't see the end of the roadworks, I was hesitant about moving forward. And then a pedestrian pointed out my predicament to one of the workmen. He did something and the lights turned to green, and so I moved forward. And then the workman waved me down and he said to me that the temporary traffic lights have a beam, and the vehicle's got to drive through that beam in order to change the traffic lights. And in order to break the beam, the vehicle needs to drive close to the traffic lights. And then he added, "Not many people know about that." Jesus came to help us to know God. In John's Gospel we read, "No one has ever seen God, but God's only Son, he who is nearest to the Father's heart, he has made him known." Now, of course, we can't know God in a visible or tangible way. We can see and touch tables and chairs, but we can't see and touch God. But God has given us clues or signs to his existence. There is the wonder, beauty, variety and order of creation. There is the human experience of God, of many people. And there is the wonderful life, death and resurrection of Jesus. All these point us towards God's existence. Amen.